Just a few weeks ago, I spoke about contentment, and not so much in a way of finding contentment. You can go to your local W.H. Smith and find a book on 10 steps to contentment, or you can go to another shop. There are many shops out there. But there, it was really just this amazing thing of the only contentment we'll find is that I know that the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in total unity. And from that alone, contentment comes and flows. And after I spoke, you sit down and you think, Lord, I forgot that. I shouldn't have said that. And you sit there and you go through a hole, and then the Lord, he speaks, doesn't he? His Spirit speaks. And I sat down and Brian leant across to me and he said, you know you're going to be challenged on that. The wisdom of Brian. Thanks, Brian. Can I just say, he was right. I was thrown into such uncertainty. I'm being very honest and open this morning. It's easier to put like a face on. Oh yeah, we can get through this. We can, in our own strength, we'll be fine. But I was hit with uncertainty. Job situation. Losing a job, how do you support your... You know, the Lord places us in situations where he wants us to take our hands off things. And we sing this chorus, recently a new one, we lean hard. Yes. Oh, lean hard. If you lean hard, you've got to take your hands off things. And that usually means the strength of yourself. We're amazing at doing it. But the Lord says, lean hard, lean in, lean on. And just in these last few weeks, thank you, Brian. I think that was the preparation. But in actual fact, what it's done is it throws you again on just seeking the Lord again. He's wonderful in that absolute uncertainty of what's going to happen. He wants us to lean hard, lean in. And I sat there thinking, the Lord doesn't purposely kind of just take the carpet from under your feet. He does it lovingly. In an amazing way, he places us in situations where he knows he could give us some growth here. Amen. Isn't that amazing? If we are willing to trust and not support ourselves, he will bring growth. I was amazed last Sunday night when Norman was sharing and he had pictures of all the work that was going on and all the people crammed into little rooms, and I realised that what did they have? Hardly anything. They arrive with hardly anything. But the amazing thing is they are leaning hard on Jesus. I do wonder for this country and the West that we've had so much. I wonder if we've forgotten how to lean. We kind of almost... you can build yourself up spiritually. You can know all the words. You can say all the songs. I think Jesus wants us to almost strip back and say, lean on me again. Lean on me with all your understanding, your intellect, your mind, your works. Precious Lord, he's wonderful, isn't he? So the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've had to practice what I preached. That's a message for us all. There is no way of just standing up here and saying such amazing words and then you go back to work on a Monday morning and it's forgotten. Easy to do. Precious Lord, he's faithful. He's the one that's so strong for us. Anyway, that's got a bit to do with what I'm going to say. If you've got your Bible, can you just turn with me to Romans chapter 8? I think they say that Romans is probably Paul's greatest piece of work, and it's classed as a letter, but when I look at the length of it, the content of it is like a lecture. And at the moment I'm used to lectures. So we're just going to go into chapter 8. And I don't think you need to be an intellectual to understand Romans. What you need is the Spirit of God. I don't think you need everyone's thoughts of the 1960s or 1970s or the best commentaries that are around. They may help. But what I found so encouraging is that a simple soul can read Romans and the Spirit of the Lord can just speak to them. One of the things is that if you hear such great exposition, which is wonderful, you can actually just go along with believing that commentary and then not actually going in yourself and finding out what it really means. So anyway, here's my simple thing on Romans 8. Very nervous because it's such a book for, well, it's some of it I get lost, and then I shouldn't be saying this from the pulpit, but chew on it, try and understand it. I know that one verse has specifically spoken to me ever since that thing of finding content, of being content in the Lord. Can we just read chapter 8? I'll start just from the beginning. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin to the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Are you still with me? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I just want to finish there. Can I just say that one verse that just totally hit me was just verse 16. The Spirit himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, my spirit, that we are children of God. And coming from a place of talking about contentment and then being so challenged on that, I read this verse and I realized we have an incredible helper in the ordinary of our lives. An incredible helper. this whole chapter basically is about flesh and spirit. These two great, in some ways, differences. Flesh, the kind of the human nature. It's the biggest thing that wars against the spirit. Just by reading it, it's the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing that traps people. It's the power still of their body against the spirit. You know, at the moment at university, I'm doing about anatomy. And it's all skull, face, neck, tongue. Do you know what? The tongue, for being a piece of our anatomy, is an incredible sensitive piece of anatomy, but can be the most insensitive piece of anatomy. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that to myself. I'm not just looking out and you can smile, if, you know, but we've all been there, haven't we? You say, oh no. The body can be something that just absolutely tears lives apart. And the amazing thing, just reading this chapter, I realise that the spirit has dealt with the body, but also suppresses it down. The more and more you walk in the spirit and let the Lord's Holy Spirit live daily in the ordinary of our lives, it suppresses the body. The urges, the things, like I say, the tongue, it can be vicious. But yet, if you look at the anatomy of it, you have got some senses on your tongue, which are incredible, miraculous. Taste. How would you operate if you didn't have taste? If you couldn't taste that cheeseburger? Sorry, not roast, sorry. But it's got such senses there. But in actual fact, it can be very insensitive. It can be the thing that just, oh, we have to be so sensitive. Amazing thing about the spirit, it brings a sensitivity. It can be easily scared away. I remember Les Wheeldon saying that. The Holy Spirit can easily be scared away through our insensitivity. And one of the key things that I've been thinking about is the witness. It talks about being a joint heir for us as children of God. But I thought this witness, there's a joint witness here. One of the things that's just really encouraged me and spoke to me is that, I don't know if you've had it the same, but in our daily lives, when we meet with different people and when we meet on a Sunday and we talk, sometimes there is an incredible witness inside where it just witnesses with someone. And their spirit witnesses with my spirit. You know, when we come together and we worship and we sing, I believe there's almost this kind of witness inside to Jesus. I believe his spirit witnesses down into our lives. You know, as we join together, we sing, we pray. Do you know where I'm coming from? It's a very much a daily thing. And if you can be accused of being, there's a phrase I think when I was younger, being a bit super spiritual. Has anyone heard of that? Being a bit super spiritual? In some ways, I kind of understand it, but I've been thinking about what does that really mean? You can't have enough of his spirit. I woke up in the early hours of the morning on Saturday morning, which I don't do unless one of the children has invaded our bed, and I had three words that came to me, I think it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was spirit without measure. If it's relevant this morning, then I'll leave it with you. Spirit without measure. And I wrote it down, and then as I wrote it down, another couple words came, and then another couple. Can I just read them? It's kind of a bit of a poem, so, and my poetry's rubbish, but spirit without measure, boundless and free, to all who will walk and suffer for me. Come unto the Father with limp, wound or void. A cry from his child he will never ignore. Strength for this day, a sure promise from our King. Loved beyond measure, the song we now sing. The law fulfilled and liberty won. By way of the cross my Saviour hung. Raised to life and sitting on high. My Jesus, my Saviour, your bride now alive. Lean on, lean in the Saviour's side. Rest in him, there's no need to strive. Giving thanks, praise and honour to now our great King, we join together a new song we now sing. Oh, and I woke up and just something in my heart was, oh, spirit without measure. It's a spirit that will help you face uncertainty in your job. It's a spirit that will come if you're in a family situation when your heart's breaking for the ones that don't know the Lord. It's his spirit that's beyond measure that will come. We've heard it this morning. It's bountiful. And what do we have to do? One of the things is totally lay aside anything that stops you having that wonderful time with the Lord. It's a very practical thing. Our lives are so full of doing things, and I say that to myself, but squeeze in those moments. Squeeze in the moment driving down to Muggy Mould. North Wales, it's a great town, market town. Oh, squeeze those times in. Feed off one another. Read, sing. We were always told, as when the young people in Exeter, we were told, Terry Watson said, sing, worship with the young people. It generates something that just, it's wonderful, sweet. It can grow. It keeps people soft. Precious Lord, listen to the witness. I've got here, sorry, I won't touch that. Witness to joint witness. It's almost to testify. It's a witness. It's a testimony of what the Lord has done. The Spirit empowers, purifies, reveals, and unifies. You know, it's great to know that you're a child of God. Verse 16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. And one of the things it says, looked at the definition of children, it's the name transferred to that intimate and reciprocal relationship, the relation that goes around, formed between parents and children by bonds of love, friendship and trust. Isn't that an amazing thing? Children of God. It's just a phrase, but what it entails. It's amazing. That I and we in our walk with the Lord can have this relationship to him where we just talk with him. That alone just is miraculous. And especially in the ordinary of our lives. I'm a big one on that because I realise that if you just, and we mustn't neglect meeting together in the hour and a half, it's just a wonderful time on a Sunday. But it will be when you're on an afternoon in a Monday when you've had a real stinker of a day. It's there that you can despair. It's there that you could be tempted. It's there that you could become angry. And the Lord has made it available to us to have this wonderful spirit that helps us in our daily lives. I'm bowled over by it. It's wonderful. What a witness. Keeping track on time. Witness. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Keeping on the theme of a witness. You know that, I think we sung it earlier on about, or maybe someone prayed it, but that thing of Abba Father, that's such an intimate term. That's incredible, isn't it? It's in the verse before, being children of God, it's Abba Father. 1 John chapter 5, let's just go. Verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood, sacrifice. And it is this Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth.
For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. I love that. Do you have him? Do you have him? You can answer.
Yes.
He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe. Key phrase. That you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? What a witness. If you think about someone facing a jury, just think how important witnesses are in some of the cases that across the world, even at the moment. Witnesses are vital. If you didn't have one, it would be your word against my word. Nothing could be sorted out. Nothing could be settled. Someone may be justified. The witness is an incredible thing. I don't know if you found it, but when I've been sat in a meeting before, and I've wanted to start a song up, which is a big thing for a lot of, you know, it's not easy, but wanted to start a song up because it was just rising up, and just before someone else comes in and starts the same one, and before I've had this little witness inside saying, "You're okay, son. You're okay. It's all right. Bit quicker next time, but you're okay." But I'm amazed at the Spirit work. Even in conversation with someone, you can hear there's a witness, there's a breaking of a heart. You're talking to someone and someone's opening up their life to you. Oh, the Lord's Spirit can come and witness in your spirit and to them say, you're my child. That alone is, just in the last 4 weeks I've gone back to basics. I'm his child. If you're struggling this morning, know this again. You're his child. The implications of that is he loves you. He will protect you. He will be with you. What's the definition of... I was looking up. It's not just someone that accompanies you to a place. It's someone that holds you and is with you to that place. It's not just someone who stood in a distance saying, "I'm over here. Come to me, I'll give you eternal life." He's not. He's with you. He's holding you. He's carrying you. Such an amazing thing. Oh, to be a child. We get so grown up with our thoughts and preconceptions of things. He wants us to be childlike. In an amazing way that he wants to parent us, if that's correct English. What a witness. To be led. To lead by laying hold of, to lead by accompanying to a place, to guide. Wonderful Lord. Something else that the witness does is this. It's in the blue book. These words here. Keep an eye on time. "Arise, my soul, arise." It says this. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. Oh Lord, my God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, and Father, Abba, Father cry. Oh, there's a lot more to being a child. It's incredible, isn't it? What was the other one? Sorry, a well-known hymn. And can it be? It says this, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee. Still the small inward voice I hear, remember that the witness, that whispers all my sins forgiven. Still the atoning blood is near that keeps me clean and fit for heaven. I feel his life, his wounds impart, I feel my Saviour in my heart. Wonderful, they're big words and I have to chew them over and try to understand it, but one thing I got from it is this one here, that whispers all my sins forgiven. The incredible thing about the Spirit of God is, and the witness to our spirit is, that he says that you're forgiven. He whispers it. He could say it when we're busy and when we're noisy, and you can still hear that wonderful whisper, your sins are forgiven. Oh Lord, one of the things that stops us moving on and growth, I think, is that we look so far back into the past. That past holds us so greatly that we forget the whisper. And the whisper is, you're forgiven. There's forgiveness. Precious Lord. Isn't he wonderful? He is wonderful. I praise him. We will sing that sometime. Won't we? Romans 1, my God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. This is a quote from someone, I don't know who it's from, so shall I just put miscellaneous. I am united with God and joined with God, and I have fellowship with God in the realm of the Spirit. Only when the Spirit is uppermost. My life is being ruled by the Spirit, thus I am being led by the Spirit, and in that I have this joined together with God in the Spirit, as his Spirit is bearing witness with my Spirit. Lots of Spirit, but amazing. Are you still there? Not bearing witness with my intellect, not bearing witness with my body, bearing witness to my Spirit where I have joined with God, and I am a child of God. How glorious it is to walk in the Spirit, to be in union with the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, and to have that glorious assurance of God's Spirit bearing witness to mine. Hey, you're a child of God. I think it's written by someone that's, American. Wolf. This is how the Message puts it. Do you mind the Message? The resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. One of the things that spoke to me back in Romans was that word suffer. When you read through being a, it says being a son of sons of God, child of God, joint heirs, it also says that you're to suffer with me. And I think sometimes that can be the little bit of a verse that you kind of, it says that we're to suffer with him. And I realise that just in the last 4 weeks we all face things that is in some ways a hardship, different for different people. And I realise that just in the last 4 weeks it's from the Lord, and it's to kind of almost bring us into a new place of growth, a new place of trust, even in the uncertainty. I realise that he's with me, he's in me, he's around me. Oh, I'm just someone to talk to. Have you been in that place where you don't actually have anyone to talk to? I was sat in Preston, of all cities. Mould, Preston. They're wonderful. Sorry, I shouldn't be. But I realised that in those places, the desolate place, the Lord has given us access just to talk with him. Just to know again that I'm forgiven. Just to know again that I'm a child of his. Oh, wonderful. Let's go on. I've done the witness. I've got a few more. The Spirit's leading. Psalm 43 says this, verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Isaiah says this, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This verse here has really caught me. Proverbs. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep me. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with me. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That talking about the Spirit. He's constant. He's the Spirit that will diffuse an argument. He's the Spirit that will come in unbelief and convict hearts of sin. He's the Spirit that will restore. He's the Spirit that will witness in our hearts to praise him. Do we praise him as we ought? Psalm 61, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, what a rock. We've heard about it this morning, being split and the water coming out. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Galatians said, if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Luke 4 says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Dave was speaking about it the other Sunday. So encouraging. Led by the Lord, led into the wilderness, but was the absolute sufficiency for Jesus there? He gave him the right words. Do you remember he used the Old Testament to fight back to the devil? Know your Bible. We should know our Bible. It's the Lord just quoted things from the Old Testament. Bash, straight at the devil. Didn't know what to do. Just at the right time and season. The Spirit will bring a new conscience. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Hebrews 9. You don't need to turn there. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He does a real cleansing act, you know. Purge means that cleansing. Like a real cleansing. It's that whole realm of flesh be spirit. If we live in a generation now that's fleshy, I don't know any other generation that's like it. I remember hearing Larry Hill speak once, and he went through the decades, and he just did a phrase on the different decades that we've lived in. The 1960s was an absolute abandonment to flesh. I wasn't there. My parents were. But I see things. The influence of music from the 60s. There was an abandonment of the flesh. Free love. You can see it now in places. The 60s was the key decade, I think, to something just coming out into the world. A devil just throwing in something. And what about now? Very much the same. Fleshy. Flesh on display. Flesh being cut. Flesh being marked. Flesh is everywhere. Can I just read this little story from a book by Michael Card, A Better Freedom. Really good book. Let me just read you this. A testimony from a lady called Elizabeth. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a young woman while she was giving her testimony in Washington, D.C. Elizabeth was the oldest of seven children from a Christian family living in Southeast Asia. Between her junior years in high school, she sought a job to help her save money for Bible college. A trusted woman in the community offered to travel with her to a neighbouring town where she knew of a job opportunity. But once they were out of sight of their hometown, the woman turned on her and sold her to a human trafficker. The trafficker sold her to a brothel owner. At 15 years of age, Elizabeth found herself in a brothel in a foreign country, subjected to horrible abuse. She prayed every night that God would rescue her. Even as the other girls in the brothel mocked her and told her God could not hear her, when she gave her testimony to those gathered in Washington, she simply said, "Still, I believed." For months, Elizabeth was forced to work at the brothel. Then an international justice mission operative found Elizabeth. IJM is a human rights agency that secures justice for victims of slavery, sexual exploitation and other forms of violent oppression. IJM lawyers, investigators, aftercare professionals work with local officials to ensure immediate victim rescue and aftercare, to prosecute perpetrators and to promote functioning public justice systems. You know all those words there, I keep thinking of Jesus. He's the one, isn't he? Justice, aftercare. That day they rescued Elizabeth and other girls held against their will. When they went in to gather Elizabeth's belongings, they found Psalm 27 written on the wall above her mattress. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Elizabeth has now graduated from college and is working in ministry as a translator. She tells her story so that other girls will be saved from this brutality. Her faith and courage ask me a question and have led me to a life-changing conclusions. Because of the generosity of Christ to come and find me in my sin and suffering, I am compelled to enter into the suffering for others. Isn't that an amazing, amazing story? And it's that link with that verse about suffering. I think about how the Lord rescues. I know that's quite graphic, but it gives that true image. You know, in that same book it mentions that they think up to 27 million people are still in slavery. Way, way more than 400 years ago. Wonderful Lord. Here's the call. Time's nearly gone. I was going to talk about the Spirit's choosing. Wonderful story in the book of Numbers. When Aaron and Moses and all of Israel were just totally against them. There's a great story about the tabernacle of witness. Incredible tabernacle. It's where you witness, where you go. The presence of the Lord was there and you'd witness with him. There'd be a witness in your heart. And Aaron and Moses basically were told to get a rod and write your name on the rod from each tribe and then take the rod into the tabernacle. I'm going over it very quickly. The bottom line is, the amazing thing about the choice of God, he chooses. He's the one that chooses. And Aaron's rod was the one that had growth. It blossomed. Almonds came off it. And they used that rod just as an example to all of Israel to say, stop your complaints. And the rod was almost a display, a reminder. Don't complain. Don't complain. Don't grumble. See where I've brought you. We can easily start grumbling, can't we? Think about that rod, that staff, that comfort. Precious Lord, here's the call of the Spirit. The New Testament ends like this. The Spirit and Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. I kind of want to finish it there. I know it's a quick ending, but the call goes out by the Spirit and it's to come. I think even just a bit earlier on this morning, it was almost a response in our hearts just to come. Can I just say a recommendation? If you're going through the uncertain times, his Spirit is well able. His Spirit calls us to come to him. And in that we find bounty. We find him an inheritance. Are you a child of God this morning? Precious Lord. And the call goes out. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. He's seeking a bride, all pure and holy, isn't it, we sing? Precious Lord. I'll just pray. Jesus. Lord, it's described in the Old Testament that that rod was the support for life. It was the rod to lean on. Lord, I pray for us all this morning. I pray for those that this morning can't be here through ill health, that they would know your wonderful support in life, Lord Jesus. That wonderful rod, the staff, Lord, that comforts, guides and leads us. Lord, for those down in Reading, Lord, establish new life, Lord Jesus. Pour into their lives your wonderful Spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, here we are this morning. I just say more, Lord. More. I want more. Spirit that quickens us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. We praise your name. Lord, you're the real joy giver. The Spirit that quenches the deep, deep heart that longs for more, Lord Jesus. If there are hearts here this morning that want more of this, oh Lord, you pour it out. You pour it out abundantly, Lord Jesus. Precious Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord. Yeah. Lord, we thank you. Lord, for your amazing presence here this morning. Lord, we have a helper, comforter. Lord, the one that reveals Jesus in our lives. Lord, we want to keep on believing. We want to run into your arms, Lord Jesus, the everlasting arms. Lord, we want to lean on, lean hard this morning, Jesus. Lord, thank you for our time now. We pray that you just bless our talking, Lord. Our fellowship, our time together. In your wonderful name, we thank you for the food too. All your provision, Lord. Amen.